This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou, I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to join me for Resilient Otago, brought to you every month by Emergency Management Otago. We'll discuss natural hazards, preparing for and responding to emergencies. Everyone has a part to play in being prepared and creating a more resilient community. Join us for Resilient Otago, Monday morning at 9:30 and Wednesday at 12:30 and online at oar.org.nz. Tēnā koutou katoa, nō Oti Poti, ahau ko Paul Allen, toku ingoa, ke te rākau whakamarumaru o tākou, ahau e mahi ana. Tēnā koutou katoa, greetings everyone, my name is Paul Allen, I am the Resilience Advisor for Emergency Management Otago, based here in Dunedin. Welcome to Resilient Otago, a program about natural hazards, preparing for emergencies and how we respond to them. In the last show, we talked about community preparedness and things that we all can do to be more prepared as a community. In this episode, we will talk about how members of the community with disabilities and those who support them can also prepare for emergencies. So today with us, we have Christopher Ford from Disabled Persons Assembly and Umi Asaka, who are going to be talking to us today. Each community generates unique, innovative ideas and to their challenges. Emergency Management Otago encourages and supports these local initiatives. So firstly, kia ora Chris, welcome. Tell us a bit about Disabled Persons Assembly and your role there.
Kia ora Paul. Well, Disabled Persons Assembly, DPA, has been around for 40 years as of this year. We are New Zealand's only cross-impairment-based umbrella disabled people's organisation. A disabled people's organisation is run largely by and for disabled people. That makes it a wee bit different than, say, a traditional service provider such as IDS Services or CCS Disability Action, which provide services to disabled people. And while disabled people do have a role increasingly in running those organisations, it's still been a tradition within those organisations, within the culture, for non-disabled people to have a role in that too. And basically, we are the voice of disabled people to central and local government, as well as to the wider community. Within DPA is as the local kaituitui or community connector for Dunedin. I also work in the regional policy space around local government. I started in that role just last year, and I've been in the kaituitui role now for 10 years.
Fantastic. What would you, thinking about emergencies, and what would you see as roadblocks for people who may have a disability becoming better connected and prepared for these emergencies?
Well, for one thing, there are often barriers around, for example, the lack of accessible information about emergencies and preparedness. For example, there are websites which are inaccessible to disabled people, particularly sometimes to blind and low vision people if they're not built to accessibility standards. There's also the barriers of, as for an increase number of people in our community not knowing who their neighbours are. And also too, there are those attitudinal barriers around non-disabled people making contact with disabled people. It's really important to build up a sense of community and connection in all of our neighbourhoods to prepare for emergencies. I know that I live in a community which is fairly good about that, but not everyone does. It's all of those barriers, and also too, often the need for additional supports in terms of helping us prepare for emergencies. And also there are barriers as well for disabled people who are predominantly on low incomes in terms of purchasing things like emergency preparedness kits. It's a bit unaffordable for some people. However, I dare say that there are some practical tips we'll go through in this program that will help everyone, including disabled people, to prepare for that.
Thanks. Budget is often a problematic for a lot of people, whether with disabilities or not. We'll be looking at that in a future program, specifically on preparing for emergencies on a budget too. So that's something which we do want to look at. One of the things you mentioned there was getting to know neighbours, and that's, I think, something which is really important. And again, working at a way which people can make contact with you, especially if you're the person with a particular disability, whether it's a hearing disability, a sight disability, or physical. How do people make contact with you? What's the best way? So what would you suggest in how do you start those conversations? And again, from an able-bodied person to perhaps the person next door or a neighbour with a disability, or to the person with the disability making those contacts. What would be some of your suggestions or hints?
A person's impairment will determine the best way to be prepared, obviously. An example is that if people are deaf, if a deaf person is a deaf person, and person first language, of course, for the deaf community is very important, or hard of hearing, it's a good idea to pre-arrange with a trusted neighbour to alert people, to alert you to any warnings and keep you informed. If anyone is blind or vision impaired, extra canes come in and in pace at your work, and remember to have a grab bag for your disability assist dog in case you need to evacuate in a hurry. And also having close connections and relationships within neighbourhoods, as I talked about before any emergency, provides that reassurance, and you're more likely to look out for each other during a disaster. Building also a personal support network, that can be somewhat difficult sometimes, given that many disabled people are often socially isolated, but nonetheless, do your best, make a plan, ensure that you have that support there to make a plan. If you need to get that support, someone can assist you. If, for example, you have a learning disability or a neurodiverse, it's important to have that support there to help make the plan, or regardless of whatever impairment you might happen to have. Also, that you can ensure that you have all the supplies you might need, including any medicines or medical equipment, most obviously. It may take a number of days, obviously, for vital services like roads, chemists and supermarkets to open following a natural disaster or other event. We've seen that in North Island recently. So it's important to do, as I was told when I was a scout, to be prepared.
That's always very good advice, and it's something which I remember from my scout days as well. There's interesting things. The UN Convention, United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, Article 11 is these situations of risk and humanitarian emergencies. Talk specifically about the role of us all in making sure that we're looking after the rights of people with disabilities. And one of the things which I read this morning was, and it's something for us to be aware of, is making, in the case of Christchurch, where there was portaloos everywhere, most portaloos aren't accessible. So what us as an organisation, how do we need to respond to make sure that we actually are catering for things like that as well? It's just a question, even for myself and for emergency management sector, to be able to look at and think, how do we do this, and what do we need to think about in those things?
it's good that you're asking that question, because I think it's important for disabled people to be a part of that planning process and to be involved. We've often in our submissions to various local councils around the country, including regional councils, which have full oversight over civil and civil defence and emergency responsiveness, we've said to them that it's really quite crucial that disabled people are at the decision-making tables around civil defence and emergency management. That's quite important. I'd like to see that happen here in Otago as well. And that's quite important too, that we all so a part of the response effort, that we sit on welfare committees, that we know our communities quite well. Service providers do know that too. That is, disability service providers do know their clients, but also disabled people have their own natural community networks. We can expand out to those in times of emergency and see how people are. I think it's quite crucial that we play our role too, and that civil defence and emergency management oversight, the overseers of that, the coordinators rather, the regional councils need to come to the party and really give us a full role in terms of being the voice of disabled people around that.
Thank you. And thank you. That's a really good reminder for us too. So I really appreciate that. There are some resources available through a number of sources. The getready.govt.nz website does have some resources for people with disabilities, and they do have some key messages which have been written just for people with disabilities. There's some easy read versions of documents, so there's a few resources there.
Yes.
And the other one was the police 111 text service for perhaps the deaf community.
Absolutely.
Well.
So as you say, there are websites that do include easy read braille, audio, large print and plain text versions of information, and also obviously, as you say, the 111 text service. Also, Get Ready has a number of resources to help you plan for emergencies too, and it's at getready.govt.nz. And obviously you put in the dub before that, or just go onto your browser and just type in the words Get Ready. So yes, that's quite important to all have there. And obviously it's about building relationships with your neighbours, your friends, your family whānau. At any time, all of us can need support or assistance in an emergency, but for disabled people, we are particularly at high risk of experiencing more disadvantage due to civil defence and emergency situations. We heard some, as DPA, some stories about what happened to disabled people in Auckland. We do know of one person who slept in their wheelchair for 3 nights until they could find emergency accommodation. So it's really quite important to be prepared and to make a plan for all those contingencies.
Oh, fantastic. Look, really appreciate you spending your time with us today, Chris. And Disabled Persons Assembly website is dpa.org.nz, I believe.
That is correct, and people can, if they identify as a disabled person, if they self-identify as a disabled person or are a family member, whānau member of a disabled person under the age of 18, can join as a family member. You can find out more about our free membership there.
Fantastic. Look, really appreciate your time. You're listening to Resilient Otago, a program about natural hazards, preparing for emergencies and how we respond to them. We'll be back after a short break to continue our conversation about preparing for emergencies when you have a disability.
Have you met your neighbours? Did you know the more connected you are, the better you can prepare for disasters? So go on, Otago, meet someone new in your neighbourhood, and remember, connecting creates resilience. To find out more, go to www.otagocdem.govt.nz.
You're listening to Resilient Otago, a programme about natural hazards, preparing for emergencies and how we respond to them. We've just heard about ways that people with disabilities can help themselves to prepare for emergencies and how other members of the community can support them, including us as an emergency management sector as well. Here with me now is Umi Isaka. And welcome, Umi. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for having me today at the radio. My name is Umi Isaka. I work as a disabled researcher at the Donald Beasley Institute, and I'm originally from Japan and have lived in Aotearoa for the past 10 years.
So,
another important thing, I guess, is that I am a wheelchair user, so many people in Anita might have me zooming around in my power chair most of the time, but sometimes I use my manual chair and have my friends and other people take me around. Yeah.
Cool. And so you've been in New Zealand for 10 years and Japan before that, of course. So have you experienced any particular emergencies?
In Japan, some people may know, is a very earthquake-prone country. 20% of earthquakes in the world happens in Japan, apparently. So when I was 14 years old, we had the great Northeast Japan earthquake. And I was living in Tokyo at the time, but we still had magnitude almost 9, I think, or 8.8, a very big earthquake. And in Tokyo, we had a quite big shake as well. And I was in my school at the time, and it was, I was on the fourth floor of the school. And so when the earthquake happened, we all had to do the things we are told to do, which is go under the table. But, that's one of the biggest experience of emergency.
And a huge experience. I mean, such a devastating earthquake as well. The effect widely across, well, not just Japan, but the result of that globally as well is significant. So you're on the fourth floor. If thinking about, if you're in a wheelchair user, accessibility in emergencies can be problematic. So what happens if you're in a multi-story building and you need to evacuate?
So that's exactly right. And we have emergency trainings at schools, but when the emergency happened this time, those trainings have kind of gone out the door, and the teacher had to go and meet with other teachers to talk about what to do. And all of the students were left in the classroom just waiting to hear what's going to happen. And when the teacher came back, she said, just go home. So we all kind of packed up and left. But obviously, I couldn't just pack up and leave because I needed somebody to take me down the stairs. So I was feeling very insecure and scared about what's going to happen. And luckily, my father wasn't too far away from the school, and he biked quickly and got to the classroom before people actually started leaving. So he took me back home. And also, my classmates said to me, like, oh, we can carry you, like, we'll make sure, like, we won't leave you alone. So that was really important that my classmates could think of me and like be to understand what I needed, that I couldn't just leave. So that really gave me a lot of emergency planning and disaster planning. We talk about personal preparedness, but for us who have disability, the personal preparedness includes community preparedness, that we need other people to think about us. And that's really important for me.
I think, absolutely. It's about the whole community being around you, and having those conversations, building those relationships. Dare I say, why the land is relatively stable and the sun is shining, is having those conversations then is really important. Do you have any specific plans now for emergencies, should they occur now?
It's a really good question, because being on this radio show has allowed me to think about it, even though I have that personal experience. To be honest, we are not as prepared, but we've been talking in our house with my flatmates about having a meeting to talk about this. So it has encouraged me to do that. And also, like Chris was talking before this, that it's really important to get involved with other neighbors and community. And a lot of times there are narrative that disabled people are vulnerable, but actually it is the society that makes us in a vulnerable situations. And I can't accept that is the case or that as the reality, and we need to move on from that. And when we plan together, we don't have to have that situation. So,
They're really good. And it is a reminder for us all to have those conversations with the people that we live with, our whānau and flatmates and our friends. And also our workmates too, because it could be in a work situation that when an event happens. So having those conversations with our workmates as well is what do we need to do. If you had one preparedness tip for our listeners, what would it be?
Yes, like you said, talk to your work, people in your community, including your work colleagues and flatmates and families and neighbors. And actually, I forgot to share this, but at my work, I'm working on the second floor of a building, and we have an evac chair, that takes us down, takes people who can't walk down the stairs by themselves. And we do trainings around that. So in a way, we are prepared and we have plans at my work, which is really great. So having those plans is really important.
Look, really appreciate that. Look, thank you, Umi. Thank you very much for your time today, and thanks for sharing your experiences and your hints as well. You can contact Emergency Management Otago, or get in contact with us through our website, www.otagocdem.govt.nz. You can find out more information, and we will be back with another episode soon. Thank you for listening, and you can listen to this on podcast as well. And thank you to Chris Ford from DPA and Umi Saka as well. We appreciate your time. Thank you for spending the time with us, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on Resilient Otago.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.